This year's hurricane season is officially on us. The news has been talking about Tropical Storm Arlene approaching the Gulf Coast into heading toward possibly toward Florida. You know, will it be the hurricane season be as bad for Florida as it is? Well, as it was last year, it had four hurricanes hitting and whacking Florida. We had six hurricanes in the United States. And experts from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has released their forecast for this season, the 2005 season, and they're predicting a similar number of storms. Will Arlene become the first hurricane of the season? What should residents of the coast, those areas, should they be packing up, moving? Here to talk to us about it is and how meteorologists are going to forecast and make their predictions this year is the lead forecaster for NOAA's Seasonal Hurricane Outlook. Jerry Bell is a meteorologist from the National Weather Service's Climate Prediction Center in Camp Springs, Maryland. But welcome back to the program, Dr. Bell.
Good afternoon.
You feel pretty comfy up there in Camp Springs? You're not down there in Coral Gables? You don't have to answer that. let's talk about the forecast this year and the fact that Arlene, do we think she's going to become a hurricane?
Well, first of all, the Weather Service is predicting yet another above-normal Atlantic hurricane season. For this season, we're expecting 12 to 15 named storms, of which we expect 7 to 9 to become hurricanes, and 3 to 5 of those are likely to become major hurricanes. So this is very likely going to be another very active Atlantic hurricane season. Now whether a given area or will be hit by hurricanes at this point, it's just too early to tell. But on average, when you have above normal seasons such as this, 2 to 3 hurricanes on average strike the United States. So it's certainly reasonable to expect several hurricane landfalls this season.
What is also interesting this year is that Arlene comes, the first named tropical storm, comes a full 2 months earlier this year than the first one came last year. Is that foreboding?
Oh, no, not really. By far the bulk of the tropical storms and hurricanes form between August and October. On average, we see 1 to 2 tropical storms form during June and July, but many years there are none. So it just really, the conditions during June and July really are not an indicator of what we see during the peak of the hurricane season. So it's certainly not unreasonable to have a tropical storm that may become a hurricane this early in the year.
We're talking with Jerry Bell, who's a meteorologist from National Weather Service's Climate Prediction Center in Camp Springs, Maryland. Our number 1-800-989-8255. Now, how connected are El Niños or La Niñas to the hurricane season?
Well, El Niño and La Niña are very important climate factors that very strongly control Atlantic hurricane activity. They're one of the dominant climate factors. The other dominant climate factor is the large-scale patterns of rainfall and ocean temperatures that really span the entire tropics of around the globe. And those patterns are responsible for what we see as several decades in a row of above-normal hurricane seasons or below-normal hurricane seasons. Since 1995, 8 out of the last 10 hurricane seasons have been above normal, and this year will most likely make it 9 out of 11. And this is in really extreme contrast to what we saw during 1970 to 1994. During that 25-year period, there were only 3 above-normal seasons. So we're back. The tropical climate patterns have shifted back into supporting very active Atlantic hurricane seasons. And then superimposed on that, we have El Niño and La Niña influencing the patterns. But this year, it's the tropics-wide pattern that we expect to dominate, which will give us the above-normal season.
Does the word climate change or global warming have any meaning for these last 15 years?
Global warming doesn't. It depends on what one refers to as climate change. It turns out that Atlantic hurricane seasons, as I mentioned, fluctuate on timescales of several decades. Mm-hmm. We call this multi-decadal variability. This multi-decadal variability is part of the natural climate variability, and it really tends to be very strong and dominate other long-term climate signals. If there is any type of global warming, it would completely dominate that. and completely obscure that. So the dominant factor responsible for the increased hurricane activity since 1995 is just the natural fluctuations in the tropical rainfall and ocean temperature patterns that really control the wind and air pressure patterns over the Atlantic. And those wind and air pressure patterns are what determine whether you have hurricanes or not.
We have an El Nino going on now, do we?
No, the El Nino was very weak during the winter, and it's pretty much dissipated. So we're not expecting any impact from the El Nino-La Nina cycle this season.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to the phones. Crystal in Metropolis, Illinois. Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
Is that really Metropolis?
Yes. It's the home of Superman.
Wow.
We have a Superman festival and everything. So.
Wow.
My question today is the path that these hurricanes have been taking recently, they seem to be heading more into the Gulf of Mexico and up into the Louisiana and Texas area. Does that indicate any change in maybe ocean current or ocean temperature or indicate any sort of global warming?
Well, the increased number of systems that have been striking the U.S. is consistent with the well above normal hurricane activity that we've been seeing. I believe it's like 13 named storms have hit the Gulf Coast in the last 3 years, and Arlene will likely make that 14 in 4 years. That's just dependent on how the exact wind and air pressure pattern set up during the season. And we really can't predict whether that type of pattern will be prominent again this season to, say, make, you know, the Gulf Coast more vulnerable as opposed to the eastern seaboard. There's just no way to predict that at this time.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Crystal. 1-800-989-8255. Does global warming predict something about hurricane seasons that would be testable?
Global warming arguments are very, very, very difficult to test because they're really dependent on the computer models that run long-term climate simulations. And those models really don't have a lot of the atmospheric variability in them that we see on these, for instance, this multi-decadal climate variability. They don't handle El Niños and La Niñas correctly. So there's we're very, very cautious about trying to infer any type of influence from global warming on hurricane activity.
Doesn't sound like a great model you're working with. There's no El Nino built in. There's no global warming.
Well, those are the state numerical model for computer models to handle tropical convection is very, very difficult. That is one of the main uncertainties, day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month climate predictions. Mm-hmm. So since there are big uncertainties in those models, to then take that same model and run it out 50 or 100 years is, some would argue, is just folly.
And the hurricanes, they start out off the coast of Africa, do they not?
During the peak of the hurricane season, most of the hurricanes in the Atlantic form from disturbances that move off the west coast of Africa and then out into the Atlantic Ocean. And those when systems form out there, they have a very long track over the warm ocean waters, and it's oftentimes those are the systems that become hurricanes and major hurricanes. And importantly, that's where you tend to have most of the systems form during these above-normal seasons. And that's important because those are the hurricanes that also track westward and therefore pose an increased threat to the Caribbean islands in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Sarah in Riverton, Wyoming. Hi, Sarah.
I just have one question. I've always wondered why we don't get hurricanes out in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, we do. The Eastern Pacific Ocean, the tropical Eastern Pacific, is a big hurricane region. On average, there's 15 or 16 tropical storms form there in a year. However, most of those systems move westward. Some ultimately will threaten Hawaii, but most of them just remain out of over the open waters.
What's a typhoon?
A typhoon is a hurricane, just a different name.
There you go, Sarah.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
They in the southern hemisphere, they call anything differently? They call hurricanes too?
Typhoons? Tropical cyclones.
Yeah.
They have different names depending on where you are in the world, but they're all the same thing. They're all hurricanes.
It's amazing just how much energy there is in a hurricane, isn't it? It's a huge amount of energy.
Yes, the amount of energy in a hurricane is absolutely tremendous. they're really amazing. They derive that energy from the the massive amounts of heat that is released due to the very, very strong and large scale thunderstorms. That's ultimately the energy source for the hurricanes.
Why do we have some hurricanes that are tightly knit, very compact, like we've seen last year, and some of that are wider and spread out?
Boy, that's a difficult question to answer, and it's also a very difficult thing to predict whether a given hurricane will be a very tight cord system or one of these monster hurricanes like Hurricane Andrew. Mm-hmm. Part of that, this is just kind of a hand-waving argument, but it really depends on the surrounding environment. Sometimes if the conditions can be very favorable but in a relatively small area, that tends to favor a tighter cord hurricane, whereas something like Hurricane Andrew that hit Florida and Miami in 1992, during that period the conditions were extremely favorable over the entire track, almost over the entire tropical Atlantic, and that then would favor a much broader, larger scale hurricane of still very strong intensity.
So you can't tell from one hurricane to the next whether it's going to be compact or wide open?
No, that really depends on the conditions at the time that the hurricane forms. We often can tell, we get a sense of it as the system starts becoming a tropical cyclone. If the initial circulation is relatively small, that would tend to favor a smaller hurricane or even an overall weaker system. But when you have a large scale, a larger tropical storm forming in an area where the conditions are very favorable, then that's when we see these larger hurricanes.
Well, Jerry, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us. I imagine you're going to be a busy guy for the next few months.
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Jerry Bell is a meteorologist from the National Weather Service's Climate Prediction Center. Safely ensconced in Camp Springs, Maryland. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, switching gears, talking about the women's health, about the differences in diseases between men and women, and the way we study those diseases and how they may affect men and women differently. Some interesting statistics about it. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break.